Hey, happy March 29th, my friends. It's a Friday. It's about 6:30 in the morning. Don't have to work today. I don't have any jobs lined up until next week, next Tuesday, as a matter of fact. So we will see how the day transpires. You may hear some ambient noise. Of course, you always hear the dogs, and the puppy is being the puppy. But my 16-year-old is trying to learn how to get up on his own. It's always been a struggle for him. And so his alarm, it's about 6:34. His alarm went off at 6:30, and I still hear it. And it will probably go off for the whole time. So if you hear some beeping in the background, know that it's a 16-year-old struggling to become an adult. If you hear some chewing in the background, know that it's a puppy being a puppy. One of the more popular podcasts, one of the more popular episodes that I've done is the episode on PPP. That is how we perceive, how we process, and how we project and produce a reality. I want to do something along those lines. I'll revisit the PPP on occasion because I think it's vital to, I think it is spiritual growth, to be honest with you, how we engage that processing part of that affects how we live our life. And if we can do that through love, then we're going to change our life and maybe the lives of those around us. Some people have changed the world because of how they process reality. I want to kind of dig into that processing place, though, a little deeper. I want to talk about the three aspects of that processing that I think are vital. You've heard me mention it lately. It's kind of been on my mind to dig into it. But I want to talk about the three aspects of the process, the software. What do we really need to plug in or to rediscover or maybe discover for the first time? Who knows? But what do we really need when we, after we perceive reality and we are processing it and we want to produce a better life, a better world, a more authentic us, what are some core values or core understandings of that process? And although there are many, I'm going to talk about three. I think three that are absolutely necessary when it comes to processing reality. The first one is love. The second one is kindness. And the third one is awareness. Love, kindness, awareness. I can't figure out a pithy sort of, acronym or something for that. It's love, kindness, and awareness. LKA. It doesn't have a ring to it, does it? I'm convinced that what comes with authentic spirituality is the ability to create. We always have the ability to create, but the ability to create something authentic, the ability to discover something that's already there that is authentic. But it must have, as far as I can tell, it must have those three components involved. Because if any one of those three is not present, then we easily fall back into those sort of false understandings of reality that we have tried to produce our whole life, that we've been taught our whole life. So let's take one at a time. You've heard me say the word love a lot. I don't know. Through my entire life, I have on some level known that it is the most important thing about being human. How we can love other people, how we can love ourselves, how we can accept love. And there's a lot of things that come with love. And I'm not just talking about some sort of sentimental, emotional thing, but that's part of it. You'll hear the puppy. He's got the slipper. I'm talking about a way, love for me is a way in which we can live where we are not the center of everything. That it is a way in which we can care for people at least as much as we care for ourselves, if not more. We can hope for others. We can dream for others. We can wish others well and sincerely mean it, you know? A giving that is not transactional based. You know, love, although it's hard to break that cycle, my friends, true love, deep love, it is not contingent upon someone else being or doing something you need. Now, it may be that there's work to do in any given relationship, don't get me wrong. My wife and I have been married almost 30 years, and we have done a lot of work on our marriage. You have to meet people's needs. You have to be aware of your own needs. You have to be able to set them aside if you have to. You need to. I mean, relationships are complicated. But ultimately, regardless of how we resolve those things or we don't, there are people in my life that I will love no matter what. And that anchors me to, I think, what is truly a true definition of love, which is that sort of exchange of oneself that doesn't need a reciprocation, that doesn't need a return. Now, there are things I need for my marriage. There are things I need for my children. There are things that I need for myself. And those are always ongoing sorts of negotiations and struggles. You know, I need the 16-year-old to get up on his own, right? But whether he gets up on his own or not, I will love him without condition. Whether they make mistakes, I will love my children. You know, whether your spouse or your partner totally adheres to everything you need, you should love them no matter what. So my definition of love is that sort of selfless, non-transactional giving of one's heart, of one's soul, of one's self. It comes with a lot of pain. Grief is, you know, part of love. Joy is part of love. So, at the core of being authentic, I think, is an expansion of that idea. An expansion of the idea of a selfless, non-transactional love. You look at the great spiritual figures in the world, and they express this, right? A love for everyone. Jesus will even go as far as to say, love your enemy. Wow, right? Have transactional care for someone who's out to harm you. That's crazy. But I think that's ultimately where authenticity leads. I'm working on that part, that's for sure. So love is at the core and the base of this original self, if you will. And we're rediscovering our ability and our capacity to live that love. Now, what comes with that love is a necessity to practice it. And you know, people are going to think you're weird if you walk around saying, I love you without condition to everyone. I don't think we necessarily would mean that anyway. At least I wouldn't where I'm at spiritually. But I know it's there. The way in which I practice it, the sacrament, if love is my religion, which is my way of putting it, then my way of practicing that, my way of imbuing that notion is through kindness. And I don't mean writing the biggest check for recognition. I don't mean helping at the soup kitchen because you want your neighbor to know. I mean helping at the soup kitchen when no one knows. I mean writing the check if you have it and not expecting anything back. I also mean things like opening a door for someone, smiling at someone who you may not like, a conscious practice of acts of kindness, I think is probably the most effective tool to reprogram ourselves. It's a rewiring, if you will, of how we perceive. They can be random acts of kindness. They can be purposeful acts of kindness. You name it. Maybe there's someone in your town struggling and you send an anonymous note or card. Maybe you have a friend who's struggling and you make that call that you've been hesitating to make. Maybe you have a friend or someone in your family who's struggling and you reach out. It's really, kindness is the actionable act of selflessness. Letting someone go in front of you in line, paying for someone's coffee. And that stuff may sound silly to you, right? It may sound naive in a world, in our world, certainly. But it is a formative action. So if love is our understanding of true self, then kindness is the formation of that self. And the more you're kind, the more you care deeply. And it's not always easy, folks, because we are trained for the transaction, okay? Hear me. This is not about floating around doing things perfectly. There's still that part of us that does kindness and hopes of getting something back. Trust me, it's always there. But there are moments, and I find this as I work with young people, where this, you know, a 5-year-old, a 6-year-old kid can't give me anything in return, right? So when you practice kindness to someone who really can't help you back, that's really important. That's why I enjoy my job. My job is incredibly hard at times as a substitute teacher, substitute paraeducator. Next week, I'm going to be a substitute behavioral interventionist. But it's because there's no transaction. You know, you're just present in love to someone. And so that those acts of kindness are formative. And here is where a real miracle happens, folks. Here is where this is really neat, what happens when we understand those two things, is that we become more self-aware. When we understand that love without reciprocation or transaction is the core of who we are, when we understand that kindness without needing something back is how we practice who we are, then as we become who we truly are, we become more self-aware. Kindness breeds, love and kindness breeds self-awareness. And what I mean by self-awareness is this, that we become aware of our own mistakes, our own inabilities, and or our own abilities, our own truth. And if we practice kindness and love, then we approach that self-awareness with humility. You know, you've got to practice a little humility when you really realize who you are. Because you're going to realize also at the same time who you have not been. And you're going to see those mistakes. And rather than beat yourself up for that, what you want to do is practice kindness with yourself. Give grace, give kindness to yourself also. And when that happens, it becomes easier to become more aware of all the aspects of who you are and all the aspects of who other people are. And then you can begin to see that your perceived enemies really aren't, they're really just people who are living how they have been programmed to live. You know, I dealt with so many people over my years in the ministry who were so hateful, so destructive, so backstabbing. And I have come to see that all they are just lost people who are living out of a set of programs they've been handed. They grew up in churches where people were backstabbing and society where people backstab. You know, and so it's no surprise to me that that now there are reality shows where stabbing each other in the back is a skill, right? Well, that's because that's a reflection of our society. The cure for that is to not stab each other in the back. It's to build each other up. Yes, we have to cut toxicity out of our life. There are some institutions and some people who'll never get it. And that's, you know, that's not our business. Our business is our enlightenment, our, I'm using air quotes, salvation, our self-discovery, our transformation. And part of that transformation is to reprogram how we see the world. And part of that reprogramming, although it is complex, but I think what lies at the core of that programming is love, is kindness, and with that comes self-awareness, self-reflection, self-forgiveness, making amends with others and with yourself. There you have it, my friends. I got a restless puppy on my lap. Can you hear him? He wants to play, but I got to go wake the kid up. I got to go wake my son up. So thanks for your time. Hope this is helpful. I hope everything I do is some help to someone. Sort of the point here. I'll talk to you hopefully tomorrow morning. We'll see how it goes. If not, I'll talk to you next week. Take care, my friends. Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.